Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 139. It's wonderful to be here. It's so nice to have my daughter with me. When I speak about the father heart, she will know that I missed it often. But she also knows that I sometimes got it right as a father. It's good to have my niece here, Adelaide. I love her very much. And before we read, I just want you to close your eyes. And I just want you to give a couple of deep breaths and just relax. Deep breath in and out. And now I want to ask you, what is your perception? And if you can conjure up a picture in your mind of who God the Father is, what does that picture look like? Just for a couple of seconds, try and picture who God the Father is. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is a dark place, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to speak to you this morning about God's Father heart and our perception of God the Father is so often clouded because in the day and time that we live in a fatherless situation. Society where the majority of children no longer grow up with a father figure in their midst. We've got a weird perception of who God the Father is because we cannot relate. Our father figures today, in many instances, are the persons who molest us. Our father figure in many instances today are the persons who tell us how bad we are and that we are not good enough. And when we arrive at home with our marks, 70 is not good enough. Then you must get 80. And if you get 80, then that's not good enough. Then you must get 90. And we sit with this thing in our hearts that we cannot comprehend who the Father, what the Father heart of God is, because our perception of fathers are so misconstrued and so wrong and so completely distorted to what God's Father heart really is for us. And this year that has gone by has been one of the worst years in our family's life. And I've often asked myself in this year that has passed, where is God's Father heart in all of this? On the 30th of December, I ripped my humerus to pieces in three places. On the 31st, I have a 3.5-hour operation, and then I have to drive from Mozambique 7 hours back to Maritzburg to only be told that my arm is fine on the Thursday night. And then on the Friday, they told me I've got to get a 3.5-hour operation, and they put a plate and 11 screws in my arm. My arm consumes me so much that I fall into such a depression that I cannot tell you. Despite of what you think, I was so dark because my arm consumed me. And in fact, my arm was stuck to my body. It couldn't move to the extent that Annaline, during March, that's almost 3 months after, said to me that she's now leaving me. She's going to stay with her mother because she cannot get me out of this hole. And I was sitting on my stoop, and I thought, God, where are you in this? And Annaline said to me, have you got hope? Now, I'm the guy in this church that for years have preached hope, isn't it? I'm the guy in this church that for years have preached that we are blessed. And I said to her, no, I don't have hope for my arm. And I'm the guy in this church who've said, "What if we speak life, we will get life." Was that life that I spoke over my arm? No. And when I said that, I realized, but this is not so. And I said to her, no, I have hope. My hope is in Jesus. And the minute I spoke, my wife is here, she confirmed this. The minute I spoke, my arm just came loose from my body. That very, very minute. But then after that, I got a phone call, and my brother, who I love very much, His daughter phoned me from Cape Town and says he had a stroke. So I left everything and I flew to Cape Town because I love him so much. I came back, and then my other brother in Pretoria had one of the worst operations that you can think of. So I rushed to Pretoria. So I'm just dealing with pain and agony and sickness the whole time. And then in June, I lose my mom. And I ask God, where are you in all of this? But fortunately, my perception of God has never been that God brings things over me to show me the way. Never, ever has that been my perception of God. God doesn't work like that. And when I speak to you this morning about the Father heart of God, David says, and let's go to Psalm 39. He says, firstly, the first point is, it's from verse 1 to verse 5. He says this, God, you are all-knowing. He says, O Lord, you have searched me. What does it mean if you search for something? What does it mean? You look for something that exists. So David says, God, you have searched me. You are looking for me. You are the one that are looking for me, God. You have searched me and known me. God knows us so intimately, says David. He says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. That's God the Father. Perhaps you sit here and you've never had a father. You've never had a family situation. But this is who God the Father is. He knows when you sit and he knows when you stand. That's taking an interest in you, isn't it? He says this. He says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. So our actions, God knows about our actions. But not only that, you discern my thoughts. So it's not only our actions, it's also our mind. I know you don't battle with thoughts sometimes. I can see that on your face. But I can tell you sometimes my thoughts, I hope God don't discern all of those thoughts that I have sometimes. But he says, God, you discern my thoughts now. He says, you search out my path. So where I'm at work, God, you are with me. And at night when I'm lying down in bed, you are with me. Do you notice that there is nothing that David has to do for God to recognize that he is with him when he rises, when he lies down, when he's sitting, when he thoughts? Nothing. David has got nothing to do with God's interest in him. Isn't it amazing? He says this, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Now, this is a nice one. Even before a word is on my tongue. When that lady doesn't treat you well at the cafe. When that taxi drives in front of you. When you've got to pay the tax man something. When your best friend says something nasty about you, even before your words are on your tongue, he's aware of it. Listen what David says. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. So God is an all-knowing God. Lastly, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. So not only is God interested in our actions, in where we are, in where we live, in what we do, he's also physically, he wants to be physically involved. And you know, some people like to touch you when they speak to you. Have you noticed that? I'm like that. Please forgive me. I like to touch somebody if I speak to them. But that is how God the Father, he's so involved in us that he even wants to put his hand on us. We see Jesus, when they wanted to remove the little children, what does Jesus do? He says, let the children come to me. And I can see Jesus holding the children together, hugging them. That's how intimately God the Father thinks of you and me, that he says that he hems us in from behind and before and lay his hand upon me. If I think of being hemmed in, have you ever seen ladies wearing their babies on their back and they've got a blanket around the baby completely and it's only the little face that's sticking out like this? Have you seen that? When I think of that, I think of God that hems us in from behind and from the back. So God knows you. He's an all-knowing God. The Father heart of God knows you irrespective of where you are, what you're doing, what you have done. He's searching for us as he searched for David. He's searching for us because he wants to pour out his love to us. Now listen, not only is God an all-knowing God, he says this, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Now David sits here and he says, God, you're an all-knowing God. You know when I sit, you know when I lie down, you know when I go to work, you know my thoughts, you know my speech. You hem me in from before, you hem me in from behind. Lord, what must I do to attain that sort of love? And God says to us, nothing. 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 Secondly, God is an all-present God. Is it sometimes in your life that you try and run away from God? Have you tried to run away from God? I've got a Dalmatian. He's a very naughty Dalmatian. Ask Melinda, he eats chicken. Melinda stayed in our house once and she invited friends for dinner. And when she walked out to go and get the friends, Aramis went in and ate the dinner. And to this day, Melinda and Aramis are like this. But Aramis is very funny. He knows exactly when he's naughty. So when he's naughty, he would take something in the house and we would sit outside and he will then, he's got a specific run on him if he's been naughty in the house. You can see it when he's naughty. Okay. So he's naughty inside the house and then he runs out and immediately Annelien would say, "Wat eet hy? Wat eet hy? What is he doing?" Because there's a condemnation on Aramis. And condemnation brings fear. He runs away from us, okay? And fear brings separation, okay? He doesn't want to be near us. And when he's finished eating what he shouldn't have ate, and he no longer feels condemned, and I invite him, he comes, and we've got, he no longer fears me, but he's got freedom, and he comes and he rubs against my leg. That is exactly what David he's saying here. He says, sometimes when I feel condemned, I'm fearing you, and the minute I fear God, I lose my friendship with you. There's separation between you and me. But what does God say? God says this. He says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there." So if I'm very holy in church, oh yeah, you know, I'm there, you there. But if I do things where other people don't see me, I know none of you, if I can see it on your face, all of you don't do things which other people, you know. But if you see, so David says, when I do things in darkness, you're also there. That's quite scary, isn't it? Why are you laughing so nervously? The point is that he says, "God, so if I make my bed in a dark place, that's Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me." So David says, and you must put this in context of David's life. David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a liar. Of note. So if there's ever somebody that had reason to go and run away from God, it is David. But God's father heart, totally, it blows David's mind. He says, "Lord, when I go to heaven," in other words, when I play, what did he play in front of Saul, the harp? "When I play the harp, you there. Oh God, but when I'm there, busy looking at Bathsheba while she's bathing, you're also there. When I realize, God, that I want to have sexual intercourse with Bathsheba, you were also there. When I realized that I made a husband drunk, you were also there." Do you see the father heart of God? He's so amazing. He says, "When I'm in darkness, you were also there." We see David at some point when Bathsheba have a child from him. This is now after he killed him. He had a husband killed. We see David sitting in ashes. Darkness covering him, but God was also there. God was also there. And at some point, let's go to the verse. He says, there was so much darkness, verse 11, "If surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night." How often do our own situation not feel like this? That even we think there's no hope. It's just darkness. It's just sadness. It's just depression. It's just, we don't know the way forward. What does David say? He says, "Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you." Brothers and sisters, this is an amazing father we have. He knows everything about us. But not only does He know everything about us, secondly, He is ever present wherever we are. If you've ever seen Big Brothers watching you, that's God the Father. Why? Why is God the Father with us? Why is He ever present? Why does He know everything? Because He wants to hurt us? No. No, no, no. So David thinks, okay, Lord, You are now ever-knowing. You know everything. You are always present. But let's now go back to the past, because I'm sure You know nothing about my history. But that's also wrong. Let's go to verse 13, the past. He says, David says, Psalm 139, verse 13, "For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." So David realizes, it doesn't matter what my past is. God knows me from when I was in my mother's womb. Perhaps there are some of you that don't even know who your father is. Perhaps there are some of you that don't even know who your mother is. Do you know this morning that when you were in your mother's womb, God the Father was knitting you? Doesn't it make you amazingly special this morning? Can't we realize this morning that God the Father is so interested not only in the present, what we do, all our actions, that He knows everything about us, that He's ever present, but He was also involved in our past. In Jeremiah 1 verses 4 to 5 says, He says to Jeremiah, "I have known You before you were in your mother's womb." In Ephesians 1, He says that He created us and He made us inheritance of Him even before the creation of the earth. In Isaiah 43, He says, "I am Yours. I have called You by My name. You are Mine." So even before you were born, You say to Me, "Really, have You seen My teeth? What it looks like? Have you seen this ear of Mine? It looks like a pair of cabbages next to my head. Have you seen My big nose? I've got holes like a 50-cent piece of my nose." You say to Me, "Have you seen My bum? How big that is?" You say to Me, "Have you seen My feet? How big that is?" You say to Me, "Have you seen how little hair I've got left on my head?" But God is not interested in that. He says, "He formed Me while I was still in my mother's womb." He's interested in my past. From the day I was born, He was interested in me. And to make us realize that you are sitting here, I don't care what you look like. I know you all of you can't look as nice and as handsome as me. I know that. But and the Lord bless you for that. But there is no criteria, outward criteria, that God has for you and for me. He says, "I don't care what you look like." He says, "I am your Father." He says, "When you were in your mother's womb, I was there with you. You are special." Brothers and sisters, we need to be told as often as we can that we are special. There is nobody in this world that is like you. Nobody else in this world has got the same thumbprint of like you. There is nothing in this world that can compare to any one of you. And you've got to accept that this is God's heart for us. That is why David says in the beginning, he says, "Lord, You have searched me. You were looking for me. I was hiding and then You found me." Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. My frame was not hidden from you. Don't we so often complain about our frames? Not the ladies so much, but the men. You see what has happened? There's been such a distortion. The enemy has distorted the sum total of God's creation by suggesting that our outward appearance should be our focus. When David says, Lord, you've searched me, and you know what? You know my blue eyes? No. You know my ears? No. You know my nose? No. You know my hands? No. You know that I can sing? No. What? You know my heart. And if we start realizing that our value for God the Father is not seated in the color of our skin. We're living in South Africa, and I can say to you today, if I read the newspaper, which I loathe, but if you read the newspaper, the inferiority caused by apartheid is as much alive as it was 20 years ago, and it's even getting worse. There's an inferiority amongst black people that was caused by a system that was at that stage even promulgated under God's name and in God's name. Please forgive us. But it is time that we stand up and we say, I am in Jesus special. Irrespective of what I look like, irrespective whether I'm pink, green, blue, yellow, short, tall, fat or thin, because God has taken care, God the Father says, your frame was not hidden from Him. What does He say? Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? God knows exactly where we're going, where we're heading. Do you know that God knows exactly what this message is doing to you? Because He knows our thoughts. He knows the words. God knows exactly what this message is doing to me. That's God the Father. He takes care of us. And Jesus says, in John, He says, if you've seen me, they ask Him, what does the Father look like? And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if your perception of God the Father is this person who is sitting up in heaven with this huge, bad, long stick, with this huge gray beard, wanting just to hit you and to harm you, you've got the wrong perception, because that's not the God the Father that I know. God the Father that I know is ever present. He knows everything about me, and He was involved in my life from the day I was born, irrespective of all the stupid mistakes that I've made. Then He says, verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Sure. What does Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says? He says, the plans I have for you is to prosper you. In Matthew 7, God says, you are so special. My thoughts about you are so special that I even know the number of hairs that you have on your head. It's easier for God now, for me, because my hair is less. But that is God the Father's heart for us. He says, why do you worry about tomorrow? Jesus says, why do you worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow takes care of itself. Don't you know that if you seek me and my kingdom, I will give you everything? What does that everything mean? Everything means that God's heart will be in your heart. Those are God's thoughts for us. He says, verse 18, verse 6, 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Let's go to Zephaniah 3, verse 17. I always pick the books in the Bible that I know you read often, Zephaniah 3, and I know you'll find it quickly. And I don't know why you're laughing so nervously. So I want to ask you this morning, as we've now established, firstly, that God knows everything about us. Secondly, God is present wherever we are. Thirdly, that God was with us from when we were created, even before that. Now, fourthly, what are God's thoughts for us? What is the future? What does God say to us in the future to go ahead? He says in Zephaniah 3, says this, verse 17, he says this, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his life. He will exult over you with loud singing." And whilst I was preparing this and I was asking God, "God, where have you been in this last 8 months?" God showed to me that he was with me during these last 8 months. No matter what I've gone through, no matter about the fact that I need to get another operation, which really, really gets me down, that I've got to get another operation. But God gave me this word to say to me, "Don't worry. Don't be anxious." But it's easier said than done. Don't you find that it's easy to give advice to other people, but when it hits you, it's not so easy. It's easy to have faith for other people. I know you don't battle with that. You don't have that problem. Isn't it easy to have faith for other people when other people are ill? "Yes, Lord, say, heal them, Lord, in the name of Jesus." And then when your own arm, "Oh, Lord, I don't know whether your faith is so big." And isn't it so? So what is God's thought, his future thought? He says, "How precious are your thoughts, O God. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I am awake and I am still with you." Now we find this interesting, and I often say that to you when I preach here. You've always got to read the Old Testament through the eyes of Jesus. The Old Testament without Jesus will put you in a depression worse than the 1943 depression. Because God the Father is expressed through Jesus. Now David says a typical thing, and I know all of you don't have that problem. He's now explaining how wonderful God is and how wonderful he is. Look what he thinks about other people. He says, verse 18, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." That's a very loving thing to say, isn't it? It's really, really nice to say, "I hate you, man. I hate you. And I'm even, God, I just want to tell you that I hate those guys." But you see, David at that stage did not understand yet. When Jesus arrived, he says, "And you must love your enemies. You must love your enemies. Don't hate your enemies. Love them. If somebody hits you on the one cheek, turn the other. Take out your pants. Or if somebody asks your pants, give him your shirt." That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So remember, this is a Pasella piece tip. If you read the Old Testament, always read it through the eyes of Jesus. Now, what does the future tell us? His thoughts are for us. We've just seen it. How does David end? He says, "Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart." You know what? Jesus is searching us this morning. He's searching to display his love for us. And you can only search for something that you know exists. So when Jesus is looking at us this morning, he's searching for us. His love is so amazing that He wants to be in relationship with us to such an extent that He will find you. Even if you think, even if you are there this morning where it's dark, even if you're trying to hide away, even if you run to the heavens, even if you go to the dark place, even if you lie down, even if you sit up, even if you work, even whatever thoughts you're saying, whatever words come out of your mouth, God is searching you. He's looking for you because He wants to display His amazing love to you. That's why He created us. He had in Him this amazing, amazing love that He wanted to express. And the only thing that He could express it was not in the baboons, were not in nature. He could express it only in what? In a person created after His own image, so that He could take His love and give it to us. And He says in Genesis, He says, I want you to be blessed. So David says, Lord, don't stop looking for me. I want to ask you, by Tuesday you would have forgotten 90% of what I've said this morning. But I want to ask you that you will remember this word this morning and say, God, your Father art is so amazing that you will search me no matter where I am, that you will look for me no matter where I am, that you will love me no matter what I do, that your love for me is so amazing that I cannot run away from you even if I try. Doesn't matter what darkness is in my life, you will still search for me. Doesn't matter how depressed I feel, you will still come for me. Because your love for me does not depend on what I do. Your love for me depends on who you are. God's Father heart for us is only good. Nothing else. Nothing else. He wants us to be in relationship. I recall with my daughter when we would go on holiday, she would sit behind me in the car and she would put her toes in my ears while we were driving. Why? Because I'm her father. Why? Because she had total liberty with me. Do you understand? Putting her toes in my ears, she felt comfortable with that. And I loved it. I had to get a few ear operations after that. That's not so. But what I'm saying to you is that if you are in a relationship with God the Father, there is no hindrance. The biggest hindrances we have with our relationship with God the Father is what we have. God's love is so amazing. And you say to me, yes, I've done so many things that are wrong. You know what? God has forgiven you 2,000 years for that. And David says, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. What are we going to say this morning when we leave here? We say, God, search me. I want my life, Lord, all the stuff which are not from you. I want to take it away. All the sin which is not from you, I don't want to do it anymore. All these ugly thoughts which I have, I don't want it, Lord, because I know you are searching for me and you are looking for me. Your love for me is so amazing. He says this, he says, try me. I want to challenge Grace Generation this morning. I want to say to you, say to God this morning, Lord, try me. I remember as a boy, you know, when you're a little boy, you think, you know, you're as strong as anything. And we would stand like this and we would say to the other guy, break your fist, break your fist. You know, I want to say to you this morning, let's say to God, God, try us. Try us in this congregation, Lord Jesus. Search us that we get rid of all that is not of you, Lord, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our words, in the way we do. We want to get rid of everything because we want your Father heart, O God. We want to see it more and more and more. We don't want things in our lives to prevent us seeing your Father heart, because the things in our lives prevent us from seeing God's Father heart. It's got nothing to do with God. It's got everything to do with us. And God says to us this morning, He wants to search us. And He wants to know our hearts. Try me and know my thoughts. And let's the last verse, and I'm finished. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for us. And one of the best, the best ways that I can express God's love, and before I tell it, I want to just recap the sermon. Firstly, David says, God, you searched me and you know my heart. And what did you find? I found, firstly, that you know me. You know everything about me. But not only do you know everything about me, secondly, Lord, you are also ever present. Wherever I go, you will find me. Thirdly, Lord, my history doesn't matter. You were with me from the day I was born. Fourthly, God, my future is in you because your thoughts are with me. You want me to prosper. You want me to be blessed. And lastly, Lord, I want you to search me and know my heart. Try me and challenge me, what? So that I will not walk in grievous ways, but that I will walk in your way everlasting. And I ask you this morning, is your perception of God's Father heart this morning, has it changed? Has it changed this morning that you see what God is searching? He's looking for you. A friend of mine has got a sticker on his car, Jesus believes in you. It blows religious people's minds that Jesus believes in us. But He does. He's searching us. He's searching for us. And the best picture that I can express God's Father love is this. Floyd McClung writes in his book, The Father Heart of God, he writes this, he tells the story of Rawat, who lived in Thailand, and Rawat's father was a missionary, a very poor missionary on the fields of Thailand, and Rawat decided that he wants the bright lights, and he went to I think it's Bangkok that he went to, and very quickly he became involved in drugs and prostitution, and very quickly became a gang leader. And then one of the leaders in his own gang got killed, and Rawat was thought to be a pimp. This is about after 12 years, and he was chased out of the gang. And Rawat decided that he will write his dad a letter, and he will tell his dad, Dad, I'm coming home. Dad, I know the pictures and the radio, the news have told the whole of Thailand that your son is this terrible person, that he was involved in child prostitution, in drugs, etc. But Dad, I'm coming home, and there's a big oak tree just before the station where we live. If there's a yellow ribbon around that tree, I want you to put it on. And I know if it's there, you will allow me to get off the train. And I'll be coming on such and such a day. So Rawat got into the train. He didn't know whether his father got the letter or not, but he believed that he did. And he was sitting in this train, and he realized that he was this terrible guy who did such terrible things, and he didn't know whether his father was going to put a ribbon on that tree or not. And as they were traveling close by, the guy sitting next to him said, why are you so perturbed? He says, no, I'm just worried. Are we close to our town? No, no, no. And the whole time, Rawat was intense in spiritual turmoil. And the train would start going slower. And Rawat would again ask, what town is this? What town is this? They would say, no, it's not the town. And then eventually Rawat the train started slowly coming to the town where our Watts parents were living in. And he said to the guy, "Do you see an oak tree?" The guy said, "Yes." He says, tell me, is there a ribbon on that tree?" And the man says, "No, there's no ribbon on that tree. The whole tree is full of ribbons." And that is God's love for us. That is God's love for us. I want to ask you this morning, if you want to say, "Lord, search me. Know my heart. Lord, take away things in my life which are not of you so that I can see your Father heart." I want you to stand up in your chair now and say, "God, I want to meet with you as my Father this morning." Just there where you are. Stay where you are, just stand up and say, "God, I want to meet with you." Don't stand up because somebody else is standing up next to you, please. But I want you to start thinking now and say, "God, search me this morning, God. Know my heart this morning, Lord. Take the grievous matter out of me, Lord, so that I can experience your Father heart in a better and in a more amazing place." These are holy moments this morning. These are holy moments. A morning like this changes your life forever. I'll never forget in 1994 when I first heard about the Father heart of God. It changed my life forever. That His love is unconditional to us. You know what? It's good for people to pray for you, but I just sense that you must just speak to God yourself now. Whether you do it loudly, whether you do it softly, it doesn't matter. But say, "Oh God, I know this morning that you know everything about me. You are ever present. My past is in you. My future is in you, God. I will now want you to continue to search me. I want you to know my heart. Try me, oh God. I want, oh Lord, to live for you with everything I have."